Well, first this morning to the growing conflict in northern Ethiopia, where local forces have launched a major military offensive against the rebels from Tigray. The latest assault has shattered a ceasefire that Ethiopia's government declared in June. The UN is calling for peace, warning this offensive will deepen the humanitarian crisis in a region that is plunging into the world's worst famine in a decade. And with the Ethiopian government blocking aid shipments, many starving Tigrayans are eating leaves to survive. That's what the aid workers are reporting. William Davison is the Senior Ethiopia Analyst for the International Crisis Group, who joins us from Nairobi. William, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
This conflict in northern Ethiopia has escalated sharply over the last few days. Ethiopian forces reportedly have launched a coordinated assault on Tigray. Do we have a sense, really, of what is going on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to understand here is that this isn't really a case of a ceasefire being broken. Mm-hmm. When the federal forces, which had sort of taken over the Tigray government since late November, they withdrew from Tigray in June. And then subsequent to that, the Tigray forces went on the offensive for various reasons. They wanted to reclaim territory. They wanted to overcome this blockade. They wanted to weaken the forces that they saw as threatening them. That was July and August. And then we saw considerable resistance to that Tigray offensive. But the Tigray forces did occupy areas of Amhara region. And now we are seeing, an effort by the federal forces to take back those areas that the Tigray forces control in northern Amhara. So it's not really a case of a ceasefire being broken, but an effort by the federal government to push the Tigray forces out of those positions that they've occupied since July.
A struggle for control. The air and ground offensive, which is from all reports, and the reports are few, given it's very difficult to get word out from there, but it seems to be a significant offensive following just days after the swearing-in last week of the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed for his second term in office. Is the timing of this latest assault connected to that re-election?
I mean, I think the election, the formation of the new government, and actually that was the first time that the Prime Minister has been elected into office. Because he was voted in as Prime Minister, but not via an election. Uh-huh. But I think that maybe that sort of the fact that there was no change in approach from the Prime Minister, in his inauguration speech, generally. There was no outreach to the Tigray leadership, to the Tigray forces, and there was plenty of signs that that was not going to occur. So it sort of solidified the impression that this is going to be played out on the battlefield. We've seen a lot of mobilization from both sides, a lot of continued belligerent rhetoric. So I think it has, we have entered a new phase where we have a new government in power and they're still taking the same approach. They're still looking for a military solution. And so I think that is part of what explains. But as I was saying, the fact that the Tigray forces now occupy territory in northern Amhara, it was very unlikely that Amhara region, the Ethiopian federal government, was going to let that stand anyway.
Mm. It's worth reminding people that this president won the 2019 Nobel Peace Prize. Right now, he's out of step with the entreaties from most of the global society. The UN has called for peace. The US and the EU are threatening sanctions against the Ethiopian government. The head of the WHO, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who is himself Tigrayan, is warning that up to 7 million Tigrayans urgently need relief aid and at least 400,000 are in famine-like conditions. Is it likely, do you think, that the president will respond to any of these entreaties to at least lift the aid blockade?
Not right now, and also he's the Prime Minister as well, not the President.
Prime Minister, I beg your pardon.
It doesn't look likely right now. And of course, the Nobel Peace Prize was for the peace deal with Eritrea.
Nevertheless, what I mean was it's international accolade and recognition.
And the international actors are pushing for an approach which prioritizes the humanitarian situation, which encourages all of the Ethiopian protagonists to look for ways other than military conflict to try and resolve their problems. But you're right, from the outset of the war, the position of the prime minister and his government has been that, you know, on the back of this political dispute between Tigray region, the government there, and the federal government, the approach from the federal government has been that, you know, that was, you know, it was an act of treason, that regional government was unconstitutional. And so they have not been willing to accommodate that. And instead, they have been looking, as they see it, to prosecute the law. That is what has led us into this civil war. And obviously, you know, since the civil war has occurred, then, you know, it's just increasingly difficult to get the parties to come back to peaceful politics after moving into, you know, military efforts to try and kind of resolve these, you know, very fundamental disagreements.
So just finally, William, how does this play out? I mean, in the short term, as I mentioned, the calls for the Ethiopian to lift the blockade of aid shipments because, you know, reports the situation is so acute some people are eating leaves to survive. Are there any entreaties that are going to change the course of this conflict, do you think, and persuade the Prime Minister to act differently?
Well, I think that the scary thing is that really to get some sort of sustainable scale up of humanitarian relief, we would need an alteration in the sort of political calculations here. So, you know, whilst both sides, you know, playing off each other in a negative way, are still engaged in conflict, that makes it less likely that the federal government is going to start allowing, you know, unhindered humanitarian access to the region. There's also a problem of services. There is no banking services, telecom services, electricity, which are provided by the federal government. They are not being provided to Tigray region. So whilst we're still in an active conflict, it seems to make it less likely that Prime Minister Abiy's, you know, federal government is going to take those sort of conciliatory, accommodating steps. It is hard to be positive, but of course, you know, everyone who wishes for, you know, wishes for the best for Ethiopia, it's clear that this country is on a negative trajectory, and that steps need to be taken to change course, and that would indeed, you know, involve some sort of prioritization of the humanitarian situation. And then, you know, trying to provide some space to, you know, to deal with the political problems, you know, over the longer term.
William, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
William Davison, the senior Ethiopia analyst for the International Crisis Group.